From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. On the previous broadcast, he began to deal with the inspiration of the Bible. The text is Ephesians chapter 6, the second part of verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. According to both the Old and the New Testaments, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, Paul states, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, it is God-breathed. Over and over, its divine authorship is declared. Today, Dr. Cairns teaches that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is divine. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, Why did Christ have to be God? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The importance of the deity or the godhood of Jesus Christ to the gospel, first of all, must be very great because it is emphasized so clearly in the Word of God. The prophecies of the Old Testament regarding the coming Redeemer and Messiah emphasized that he would be truly God. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for example, tells us that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity. That's a Hebraism that says he is the Eternal One. So the Old Testament emphasizes he will be God. The New Testament has a variety of lines of evidence that Jesus Christ is God. The name of God is given to him. The prerogatives of God, for example, that he would be worshipped. God, bringing him into the world, said, Let all the angels of God worship him. Prayer is made to him. So he's called God. He's worshipped as God. Prayer is made unto him as God. And there are various texts of Scripture that state emphatically that he is God. Now, with all that, it must be very, very important to the gospel that the Redeemer is a divine Redeemer. So, why is it so important? Well, let me give you two ideas that will only scratch the surface of the subject, but nonetheless will, I think, be helpful. First of all, man is a fallen creature, and no man can be born without sin. No man can live without sin. Any man born of natural generation, any man born of Adam by natural generation, is a sinner and needs a Savior. That's the first thing. Now, follow that through for a moment, because when God sent His Son into the world, He was born of a virgin. People wonder, why is that so important? Well, let me tell you why it's important. Because the Holy Spirit, according to Luke's Gospel, and according to Paul's words in Galatians 4, verse 4, the Holy Spirit, of the substance of the Virgin Mary, created the human nature of Jesus Christ. Had he been born of natural generation with a human father implanting a human seed and a woman bringing forth a child in the normal course of events, the product would have been a person. And that person necessarily would have been a fallen person, needing a Savior, incapable of saving others. When the Son of God came into the world, He united not a human person, but a human nature with Himself. A nature sanctified and made holy by the miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit upon the substance of the Virgin Mary. Now, that, I hope, will begin to lift the lid on a deep, deep mystery that we can never really understand. And that is the mystery of the person of Jesus Christ, what theologians call the complex, or to use a big word, the theanthropic person of Christ. God and man in two distinct natures, but one indivisible person forever. He had to be God, because had God not come, there would have been no person other than a human person born of human generation, and that would have been a sinner. That's the first necessity. There is a second line of thought, and this is very important also. Only God has infinite value to his person. The Son of God came into the world, and he took a human nature into union with himself. Now, in his humanity, Jesus Christ obeyed. But the value of the obedience is not just a value that arises from the human nature, but from the entire person. The person of Jesus Christ is of infinite value, and therefore his work is of infinite value. And when you think of what that work had to do, it had to reconcile a lost world. It has to have value that will satisfy the infinite justice and holiness of God. It has to have infinite value that can reach to an innumerable company of sinners to cover them with righteousness, wash away their sin, rightly relate them to God, and save them for all eternity. Only the person of God's Son, manifested in human flesh, could bring such infinite value to bear upon the great subject of man's redemption. So, briefly, we have touched on some deep and mysterious things there, but briefly, that's the reason why Jesus Christ, who is truly man, had to be truly God in order to be the Redeemer. Only a divine Redeemer could be a Redeemer at all.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Great Revival, which took place in Ulster in 1859, a moving of God's Holy Spirit which saw literally thousands of people swept into the kingdom of God. Five of our Free Presbyterian ministers will deal with various aspects of the revival. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of the Reverend John Wiley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And what is the greatest need of the church today? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
That the Bible is true in what it says, that it is the judge of man, including his reason. It judges his thoughts, because human reason is fallen and it's depraved, just like every other part of the man. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" I think that just sums up the mind of fallen men. The light that is in them is darkness. Now, I acknowledge, therefore, that I am not the judge of the Bible, but that the Bible is the judge of me. Now, ultimately, of course, both the liberal and the Bible believer have to come to the evidence. But it's how you come to the evidence that matters. If you come to the evidence of the Scriptures and for the Scriptures as the judge of the Bible, then you've already denied the Bible. Let me give you an example of this in the matter of God's existence. I'm sure you've heard preachers set out to prove if God exists. But you've already denied God when you say that. If you say if God is, you've denied the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible is not a possibility. He's not a probability. He is the eternal, absolute, necessary being. And it cannot be but that he does exist. You can't say if God. Similarly with the Bible. It's the absolute Word of God. You start with your feet on this basis. And if you start on any other basis, you're denying the Bible before you start. As I say, that's what the liberal does. Now, if we assume that the Bible's correct, and it is, then all the evidence will fit together, just like the parts of a puzzle. They fit together. I'm sure you've all done jigsaw puzzles. I hate the things because I don't have the patience nor the imagination to do them right. But I'm sure you've all looked at those, and I'm sure you've got to the place where you've got a lot of things you think in place, and then you get this little piece. And you try it here and there, and if you've done what I've done, you've forced it in, and it looks 75% good. It fits on three sides, but the fourth side You know, there's a strange sort of a curl or a gap there, and it throws everything else out. It just doesn't fit. Now, that's the way it is with evidence. If your assumption is right, every bit of evidence will fit exactly. If your assumption's wrong, it won't. Now, that's how we're going to look at this matter of inspiration today, because this is the Bible's way of looking at it. And with that preface, then I'm going to come straight to the text, the sword of the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about today, the sword of the Spirit. And all that I have said is just to tell you how we're going to look at it. Now, first of all, I want you to think of this, that the existence of the sword of the Spirit is due to the Holy Spirit. This sword has its existence because of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever looked at a sword, but you know, every sword bears the impress of its maker. Every sword has the impress of its maker upon it. And it's true of this sword. It has the mark of its maker upon it. Here's the Bible. You open it up. It's a unique library. It starts off with the books of Moses and stretches over a period of some 1,500 years of composition. You find soldiers like Joshua among its authors. You find shepherds like David. You find herdsmen like Amos. You find thundering prophets like Nahum. You find sweet singers and men who speak with the words of heavenly wisdom, like David and like Solomon. You come to this Bible, therefore. It's a unique library. Now, who wrote it? Who wrote the Bible? Is it just a compilation of so many different men's writings? Do Moses and Joshua and David and Isaiah and Jeremiah and John and Peter and Paul, do they jointly claim the authorship? Ah, no. There are more or around 40 different human pen men in the Bible. But they're not the real authors. I think of the words of the great C.H. Spurgeon when he was answering this question, who wrote the Bible? Was it merely the conjoint efforts of men? He said, no. Now listen to this, for this is real Bible-believing fundamentalism. This volume is the writing of the living God. Each letter was penned with an almighty finger. Each word in it dropped from everlasting lips, and each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. You know, I like Spurgeon. The only thing he didn't do right was he wasn't a Presbyterian. Well, he is now. He's in heaven, so he has found out better. But all joking aside, I like Spurgeon because he nails his colors to the mast, and I like that plain statement of what the Bible is. Now, what does the Bible say about itself? It may come as a surprise to you when I say that in the Old Testament scriptures alone, there are about 2,000 claims to divine inspiration. 2,000 times the Old Testament says, in effect, this is the inspired Word of God. Let me give you a few examples. I'm not going to take a long time on this. Let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 2. Well, we start in verse 1. Now, this is, of course, Moses being called of the Lord. Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me,
nor hearken to my voice. Now, I think that you could understand that Moses was on solid ground here. These people had chased him. He says, Lord, if I go, they'll not believe me. Now, the Lord immediately in verse 2 gives him a sign. Verse 2, he says, what's that in your hand? That's a rod. Put it in the ground. It became a serpent, etc. Moses was still not convinced. Verse 10, Moses said, O Lord, I am not eloquent. Lord, not only will they not believe you sent me, but even if they do believe you sent me, I am not eloquent. I couldn't speak the word right. Neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now listen. Who hath made man's mouth? Who made the dumb or deaf, the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. And I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. I see very clearly what the Lord says. Here is his guarantee to Moses. Moses, first of all, I send you. Whether they believe it or whether they don't, I send you. I give you all the miraculous tokens of a divine commission. But over and above that, I made the mouth. And I will be with your mouth. So that what comes out of your mouth, I will be responsible for. There, in the strictest terms, you have biblical inspiration. Turn over to 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. Now, again, you can't have anything more clear or definite or simple. The Spirit of the Lord. By the way, you will see the inference of the deity of the Holy Spirit there. Verse 2, the Spirit spake by me. His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of mine, or of Israel, spake to me. So you've got the deity of the Holy Spirit. But there you have inspiration. Turn over to Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verse 9. You'll find Jeremiah's commission. The Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Let me give you one more Old Testament reference. We come to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12. Here's the summary of the prophet about the whole Old Testament. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words, I underline this, the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. What is the Old Testament? It is the word which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by his prophets. Now that's the claim of the Old Testament. It's also the claim of the New Testament, as it confirms the Old. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture, or every Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. Every Scripture is God-breathed, as it literally signifies. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, as they were carried along by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. He says, and this is a very, very important reference that we will have caused to return to in a totally different connection. Dr. Barrett has been lecturing on dispensationalism in the Sunday School Hour. This is one of the great focal texts of the Bible in that controversy, where the Apostle Peter looks at the Old Testament prophets and he says that it was the Spirit of Christ that was in them. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of Christ. And what they said, according to Peter, it was the Spirit who signified that. Now let's get this very, very clearly. This is the New Testament, and it's explaining, and it is confirming what the Old Testament claims for itself.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.